Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Again, it's good to see everybody out this morning. Welcome, especially to our visitors. We're going to read the Psalms, 148. Just one psalm. The theme is on praising, worshiping God. That's the purpose why we're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, again, we're so thankful for each one that's come out. Thank you for the measure of health that we have to be able to be here in the house of worship. And Lord, we ask you to speak to us this morning through this message that we have prepared for the people. We need your help. Help us to focus this morning and not be distracted, and speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody made any New Year's resolutions yet? Or was it too early? Okay. Well, this is the time of year that people do it, make New Year's resolutions. The problem is we can't keep them all. They quickly fade away, soon forgotten. Sometimes willpower is just not enough to try to keep those resolutions. But thankfully, those of us that are born again, we have the power of God in us to do God's will if we allow Him to do it. There's one resolve that the child of God should make and keep, and that is to purpose in our hearts to put God first in our lives. To put God first in our lives. After all, He's faithful to us. Amen? And that includes being faithful to Him. And we are thankful for those who are faithful that are here this morning. That's what the church is. It's not just a building. The church is a group of believers in Jesus Christ that have been blessed by God, having received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, gathering together. That's what we're supposed to do. We gather together. This is the purpose why we're here, in order to worship God. For professing believers, joining together as a church is not an option. It's commanded in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 10, if you read that. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's what the church is. We are the family of God, and families, ideally, should be together. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's commanded. It's absolutely necessary for our Christian growth and to mature and to strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ. If you keep on coming to church and gather together, your faith will increase and it will be strengthened. Of course, hopefully we haven't arrived at the point where we think we know it all. It's like the more I learn, it seems the less I know. And we're going to spend an eternity learning more and more about God. And there's so much to learn, so it's a great opportunity to gather together and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's so much to learn, to grow in grace. Are we more gracious than we were a year ago? Do we have more knowledge of our Savior than we did a year ago? Well, we can start over. We can start over to gather together and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the main reasons people need to be saved from their sins, apart from avoiding spending eternity in hell, is that when a person is born again by receiving Jesus, it's only then that a person can truly know God. You can know God, but only if you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you do that, when you invite Him in to save your soul, it's only then that we are truly able to worship God, because that's the first time, that moment in time, that we can actually know who God is. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Jesus always claimed that He was God, and this is why they put Him to death on the cross. The religious Jews assumed that He was committing blasphemy by claiming that He was God, and He always told the truth. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So if you want to receive everlasting life, you've got to receive Jesus Christ, who is the life. Only when a person receives Jesus can they know God and they can worship God, because then they know Him. If you don't know who to worship, then you cannot worship. Once you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can worship and give Him the glory that He deserves. That's the great reason, one of the greatest reasons why a person needs to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, so he can receive the glory that he deserves and the worship that he deserves. Because if you don't know Jesus, you can't worship God, and you cannot know God. And that devotion to God always includes praise and thanksgiving and faithful dedication to worship together with other fellow believers. We know there's always extenuating circumstances why people cannot gather together consistently, hopefully. I mean, people get sick understandably, some people have to work on the Lord's Day. Some people go on vacation, you know, like Denise and I. She's got a few days off of work. We take the opportunity. But we need to be consistent in our church attendance to gather together. If God spared not his own Son for us, then the least we can do is spare a couple of hours each week for him. That's the least we can do, to spare a couple of hours each week. And, you know, people can actually sleep in on the Lord's Day. They can attend church. We start at 11 o'clock. It's not like we're starting at 8 o'clock in the morning. Or some churches, one down the road, they start at 10. That's okay. If that's what they want to do. But you can still have a sleep in and still attend church. So the least we can do, for all that God has done for us, we can at least spare a couple of hours in each week to set aside to praise, to worship with thanksgiving and assemble together to do that, to worship God. This is what church is all about. We're not going through the rituals, you know, and all the candelabra stuff. We come to worship God. That's the purpose why we're here. Not out of compulsion, because we want to. He deserves the praise because he is worthy. He's the only one that is worthy, amen? To grow in grace includes putting into practice not only what we read ourselves in the Word of God, which I hope we do, for our own spiritual growth and edification, but also what we hear through the teaching and the preaching of God's Word together. If we're not here, then we can't hear it. In the New Testament, we learn about a man named Barnabas. They probably called him Barney. Maybe not. He was a fellow missionary of St. Paul. He was also an apostle. We talked about what an apostle is. Apostle, a person, he could drink poison. He wouldn't necessarily want to do it. If someone tried to poison him, he could drink that poison and he wouldn't die. He would be bitten by snakes, poisonous snakes, and an apostle wouldn't die. So these were specially chosen people. And also they were able to perform miracles that no other human being could do. So these were special people. And we don't have any apostles today, even though some people might think so. So Barnabas, he went to encourage this church in Antioch, which is in Turkey. And this is, Antioch was the first place where people were called Christians. Christians. The word Christian means little Christs. And he came there to encourage those believers. And we all need encouragement, don't we? Don't we? Yes? Don't we all need encouraging? That's another reason why we need to gather together. Because you're not going to get it out there, folks, in the outside world, not very much. But you can get it here with people that are like-minded. We need to encourage one another. So Barnabas, he goes to the church in Antioch, and he wanted to encourage those believers to keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Or growing and maturing in their faith, in the grace of God. And Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, he said, when Barnabas came and had seen the grace of God, see, he could see it in those believers, he was glad and encouraged the church that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. To purpose in our hearts to continue with the Lord. That's what we need to do. There's a great New Year's resolution. To purpose in our heart to continue with the Lord. The word of God still applies to us today because God hasn't changed. And the Bible is God's word. And being part of the church of God, we all need some encouragement because there's so much opposition and there's going to be a lot more against believers. Are you seeing it now? Are you seeing it? You know, Christmas is more about Santa than Jesus. But okay, I don't want to get into that. There's opposition against believers, and there's going to be a lot more to come. So be aware of that. Opposition, we're up against it. No reason to get paranoid. We're up against it from the outside world, generally speaking. We've got opposition from the devil and his demons. Oh yes, they do exist, evil spirits. Where do you think all the evil comes from in this world? And we also have opposition from our own sinful nature. Oh yes, it's not been eradicated. It's still there. That our own sinful nature. Sometimes I think that I am my own worst enemy, you know. But we have the Holy Spirit too, and it depends on which, if we yield to the old sinful nature, then that's sinful. But if we yield to the new nature in Christ, we do God's will and we are doing what he wants us to do and how to live. Paul writes to the church in Galatia 5:13. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other." Somebody said that the Christian army, they're the only ones that shoot their own. Do not bite and devour each other. Watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. In verse 22 it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," and wouldn't it be wonderful if we could manifest the fruits of the Spirit in our life every single day? That would be a great resolution to aim for. But we can't do it in our own strength. We have to rely on God to help us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Only if we could be like that, we'd be like Jesus, because all those attributes sums up who Jesus was and is. And those that belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. Don't envy Denise and I because we're going on a cruise. You could have gone on one too. You saved your money up. I know, of course you wouldn't do that. So anyway, Barnabas, he knew, because he lived in the real world, he wasn't stupid. It's a lot easier to start off our Christian life experience with great enthusiasm. Everything's hunky-dory once you get saved, right? But to continue on that level, well, that requires a sincere commitment to stay the course, especially when the difficult times come, and they will, amen. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. He's not sugarcoating anything. He's realistic. And no one had more trouble than Jesus. Difficult times will come. That's another reason why we need to be together. You know, some people, they get problems and they get hardships and circumstances of life overwhelm them, and they blame God. You know, it's not his fault. And then they cut themselves off from the people that love them and they can help them go through these hard times, whatever it may be, sickness, all kinds of problems. You've experienced that in your own life. And be certain and be careful that our faith will be tested. Sometimes God tests our faith to find out what we're made of. To test our faith, to prove to him that we are sincere in our faith. Our faith will be tested. So we must be determined, committed in our mind, and to purpose in our hearts to be faithful to God, regardless of the circumstances that have happened in our lives. So when Sunday comes around, it's a perfect time for the church to gather together and worship God, to praise God and give thanks to God, because he alone is worthy to be praised. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Psalm 18:3. But what does worship mean? What is worship? What does worship really mean? I've got a good definition. It means to honor with reverence the divine supernatural being with great extravagant respect and devotion. Psalm 96:4. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Feared means to reverence him, to hold him in awe. Not to be scared of him. God is love. So Christmas, having just spent Christmas, it's reminded us again who Jesus is and what he's done. He was born of a virgin, born as a human being. He was and still is divine. He's divine and worthy of our praise because he is God. I and my Father are one, not two. Jesus is worthy of our praise because of what he's done for us on a cross to save us from our sins so we wouldn't have to be punished for those sins that we have, do, and will commit. He's worthy to be praised because of that, for what he's done. He's worthy of our praise for all the many answered prayers. He doesn't have to answer our prayers. He doesn't even have to listen to us. He's worthy of our praise for those answered prayers in our life. We've got people here that have been healed from cancer. People's lives have been completely restored after being totally shattered. We need to give him praise. How do we do that? We gather together. Give him the praise that he deserves. We give him praise and worship for what he's doing now in our lives and all that he's done, what he's doing now, and what he will do in the future. Like the hymn said, we sang it, he's holding our hand. He's always holding our hand. Wherever we go, he's worthy of our praise. Psalm 150 verse 6, he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. True praise and thanksgiving always includes the worship of God. Therefore, by him, let us continually, not just Sunday morning, continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13:15. Luke said that the early church always put worship into practice together. He said in Acts chapter 2, he says, so continuing daily, not just Sunday morning, daily with one accord, talking about the church there in Antioch, and breaking bread from house to house, that's eating together. Baptists are good at that. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. People can see the difference in our life. Those people that are on the outside looking in, they can see there's something different about us. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Genuine praise to God always opens the door to his blessings, because he is always pleased with the praise and the worship of his people. Always. Praise and worship always opens the door to God's blessing. So you want to be blessed? Then praise the Lord. Gather together. Like we have this morning. However, I'm almost finished. If we come to church with a casual, half-hearted attitude towards praise and thanksgiving to God, in the hope of receiving a blessing in return, then we might be disappointed. Because God knows our hearts, and he always rewards those people according to their true motives, the true motives of our hearts. He knows if our worship and our praise and our thanksgiving is genuine. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God always looks at our hearts and he knows our motives. True, heartfelt praise and thanksgiving to God goes beyond just rituals and routines. We can leave the same way as we came in if we don't come with the heartfelt gratitude attitude. The gratitude attitude to praise God, to worship God for who he is and for what he has done. So I'll conclude this by saying, in this coming new year, let us come together. John Lennon wrote that song, by the way. Come together as a church and determine in our hearts to give thanks and praise to God from a sincere heart of worship that overflows with love and gratitude. Those of us that have received such a great gift of salvation must demonstrate the genuineness of our faith. How do we do that? One of them is coming to church. and gathering together. You say you got faith, James says? Then prove it. I'll just close with this story, and I've mentioned this before, but it came to mind again when I was preparing. And that's another reason to come to church, because some pastors, not all of them, but some of them, spend hours preparing a message. Now put yourself in the shoes of like Christmas Day, and you had prepared a meal, a Christmas meal. You spent hours, some of you did, no, Denise did, hours and hours preparing a special meal for people, and you invited those people to come and partake of that meal that you so lovingly prepared. And on the day that it's ready, they don't show up. How would that person feel? What message does that tell that person that have lovingly prepared hours and hours to deliver that message, and they can't be bothered showing up? Let me read this story. True story. There was a lady in Nashville, Tennessee, who hadn't missed attending church for 1,040 Sundays. 1,040 Sundays. The editor commented, he said, I quote, "It makes one wonder what's the matter with this lady? Doesn't it ever rain or snow in her town on Sunday? Doesn't she ever go anywhere on Saturday night? So she's too tired to get up on Sunday morning?" That's part of the problem. A lot of people just want to worship Saint Mattress on Sunday morning. They're too darn lazy to get out of bed. Sorry, Lord. "Doesn't she ever attend family picnics or reunions on the weekend? Doesn't she ever have headaches, a cold?" I know Rick's got a cold. I've got a cold. Denise's got a cold. "Doesn't she ever have headaches, a cold, nervous spells? Or read the Sunday paper? Hasn't she ever been offended and become angry at the minister?" I'd be surprised if they weren't. "Or had her feelings hurt by someone in the church? Or felt justified staying home to hear a sermon on TV or radio?" Well, I don't need to come to church. I could just turn on Charles Stanley. "What's the matter with this lady?" What's the matter? She'd learned and believed and accepted in her God-given responsibility that the book stopped here. She wasn't about to pass it on to anyone else. Unquote. Obviously, this lady wasn't living for self. And I'll close with this verse that Jesus said, Mark chapter 8, 34, 35. "Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." In other words, he needs to be put first. To put him first is to know the power of his resurrection life. In order to do that, we must die to self. Jesus said, seek you first, the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Happy New Year. God bless you all. And shall we stand and be dismissed? Father, again, we thank you so much for us able to be here today in the house of worship. We thank you for the faithfulness of these people that have attended. And in this coming new year, help us to be conscious of the fact of your Holy Spirit living in us, and not to live for self, but to worship and praise you with thanksgiving for all that you have done. We thank you for coming into this world as a baby, a sinless baby, who lived for 33 years and died on the cross and suffered a cruel death by being nailed in your hands and your feet, taking the punishment that we deserve for the things that we've done and thought about, so that we can have a home in heaven by receiving you, simply by calling on your name, Jesus. If we truly believe in our heart that you died for us, which you did, because you love us, and you were buried, but you rose again from the dead, and you are very much alive, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, whoever lives to make intercession for us. And the Bible says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My question is, have you done that? If you want to be saved from your sins, you want a home in heaven, you want a full abundant life on earth, then receive Jesus. And then you'll receive peace that you've never known, and a true meaning of why we're here on planet Earth. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now, in the coming new year, and forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.